This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Here we go again. For the second time in a decade, we are down to the wire on the Farm Bill. While members of the House Senate Conference Committee say they are close to reaching a deal, there are no guarantees. Farmers are in limbo, not knowing if the risk management programs they need to qualify for operating loans will be there. Even if the conferees reach a compromise within the next few days, Congress will not vote on it until after the current Farm Bill expires. The sky won't fall right away. The residual effects of programs that have been in place until now will keep working for a little while, but time will run out. And the longer it takes to get the new Farm Bill passed, the greater the harm to confidence in our farm economy. The proverbial runway is short, weeks at best. We use the word certainty a lot when we talk about the Farm Bill, and that's a big part of why it's important. The same as the stock market takes a dive if there's a major shakeup at a big company, or if the Federal Reserve sends mixed signals on interest rates, confidence in the farm economy takes a hit if farmers don't have the certainty the Farm Bill provides. And the farm economy cannot withstand another hit right now. USDA in August projected this year's net farm income would be $65.7 billion, the third lowest level over the past decade. The downturn in farm income over the past few years has driven farm debt to a record high of $407 billion projected for 2018. Another important indicator of farm financial health, the debt-to-asset ratio, is projected to climb to 13.4% this year. It's the sixth consecutive year of climbing debt as the percentage of farmers' assets. There are several reasons for the downturn in the farm economy. A slowdown in the global economy a few years ago, combined with favorable weather and expanding livestock production, resulted in a buildup of commodity stocks. Those stocks are weighing heavily on farm prices even as the general economy has recovered. Meanwhile, there's uncertainty in some of our most important foreign markets. NAFTA talks have made progress, but the agreement remains on the bubble. Tariffs are hurting demand and prices for most of our agricultural exports, and we're not opening enough new markets around the globe. I'm continually amazed and impressed by the resilience of America's farmers, but they need a strong farm program to survive this farm economy and keep providing our nation's food security. Our leaders in Congress are working hard on the Farm Bill, and we appreciate their efforts. But I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to get the job done. America's farm and ranch families cannot wait very long before the lack of certainty makes a tough time even tougher. In a statement, AFBF President Zippy Duvall said President Trump's approval on Monday of the modernized U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement preserves a two-way free trade relationship that greatly benefits America's farmers and ranchers. South Korea bought $6.9 billion worth of U.S. agricultural goods last year, making it our sixth largest export market. Whether it's corn, soybeans and wheat, or poultry, eggs and meat products, our agricultural exports to South Korea are growing thanks to the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement. In the wake of Hurricane Florence, South Carolina farm families and rural communities face estimated damages of $1.228 billion. In response to this tragedy and the tremendous needs of the state's farmers and rural communities, South Carolina Farm Bureau has established the SCFB Agricultural Aid Foundation. Contributions to this fund will help farm families impacted by the flood. Farmers in South Carolina are no strangers to hurricanes, flooding, and natural disasters, especially after what we've experienced in the last few years, according to South Carolina Farm Bureau President Harry Ott. They are the backbone of this state, and this fund allows us to show them our support in their time of need. Donations can be made to the SCFB Agricultural Aid Foundation, which is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit foundation established by South Carolina Farm Bureau Federation. All contributions to this fund are tax deductible. Checks can be made payable to and sent to the SCFB Agricultural Aid Foundation, P.O. Box 754, Columbia, South Carolina, 29202. A recent USDA analysis of Information Resources Incorporated data revealed that the market share of plant-based milk analogs, in other words, imitation milk made from almonds, coconut, or soy, rose from 5.7% in 2013 to 7.6% in 2015. USDA, however, has not recently updated the market share information for these plant and nut-based beverages. To provide insight on sales trends for these products since 2015, AFBF used IRI scanner data from 2015 to July 2018 to estimate market shares of dairy and plant and nut-based beverages. Revenue regional trends in plant and nut-based beverage consumption and estimate the price of the competing products. The American Farm Bureau Federation has created an interactive dashboard for a more thorough look into the results of this analysis. Farmers and ranchers need a new farm bill by the end of the month when the current law expires. The farm bill provides farmers critical risk management tools such as crop insurance. Illinois Farm Bureau President Rich Giebert explained that farmers and ranchers need a farm bill now, not later. Giebert said there is a sense of urgency to get it completed. With all that we have in front of us today, trade and tariffs and low commodity prices, big crops the last couple of years, farmers need certainty that we're going to have crop insurance as a risk management tool in our toolbox. Giebert countered a common criticism about crop insurance when he noted, "You don't buy crop insurance to have a claim. You buy it for the protection and the security to cover the large losses that you may incur." Since our trade partners began applying retaliatory tariffs on U.S. agricultural products, the industry has experienced a significant amount of uncertainty, price fluctuation, and disrupted trade markets. For some already harvested commodities, like cherries, the impacts of lost sales and depressed prices are well known. For other crops, like soybeans and corn, the impacts of current trade activities have been felt acutely by those who have sold in the spot market over the summer or watched helplessly as futures contracts swung widely. But the feeling that the worst is yet to come hangs over producers. The consensus is that the impact of lower prices and weak demand from some key foreign customers will be most widespread as the combines roll and the harvest 2018 gets underway. Harvest progress continues to climb northward, with many of the southern states finishing up corn harvest and getting started on soybeans. As southern farmers deliver their corn or put the grain in storage, they are certainly feeling the impact of low prices, but thankfully they have positive basis on their side. However, as harvest moves north, we enter negative basis territory. This isn't a new condition, but it will certainly be felt more acutely in this trade-impacted low-price year. In an op-ed published Monday in USA Today, Illinois farmer and Farm Bureau member Krista Swanson describes how her family could personally be affected by the ongoing trade war. She also taps into her expertise as a research specialist with the University of Illinois' Gardner Agricultural Policy Program to explain how retaliatory tariffs threaten farmers and ranchers throughout the country. She wrote, "Like our trade officials, I want fair trade that fits the needs of our country as a whole. I support the notion that some trade policies need to be reviewed and updated with a well-planned and effective approach. But I also question whether using tit-for-tat tariffs will be effective and the potentially dire consequences of this strategy." Congressional Research Service reports are as good as reports get, but until last week, they were for Congress's eyes only. Now, however, the reports are accessible to everyone through the Library of Congress website as mandated by lawmakers in the Omnibus Spending Bill, also known as the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2018. It will take years for North Carolina farm families and rural communities to recover from the catastrophic flooding and property damage resulting from Hurricane Florence. Many of the communities affected were also still recovering from flooding due to Hurricane Matthew in 2016. In response to this tragedy and the tremendous needs of North Carolina's farmers and rural communities, North Carolina Farm Bureau has established the Florence Relief Fund. Contributions to this fund can be used to support the state's farmers and rural neighbors as recovery efforts in their communities become more apparent. Contributions to the fund should be made to the North Carolina Farm Bureau Foundation, Incorporated, which is a charitable nonprofit foundation established by the North Carolina Farm Bureau Federation, Incorporated. Contributions can be made via checks payable to North Carolina Farm Bureau Foundation, Florence Relief Fund, P.O. Box 27766, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Online contributions can be made online via PayPal at www.ncfb.org/Florence-Relief-Fund. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.